Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes!
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy, man. It's the day of game three. They're playing tonight. We'll be up late watching and talking about the Phillies. Check us out in the post game. Hopefully it's fun. That'd be cool. We got all kinds of things to talk about. Nick Castellanos loves to talk, all kinds of stuff. How you doing, pal?
Feeling good.
Feeling good. Really? Are you good? You
feeling good. Better. Feeling good.
Feel better, please.
Just let you know. Feeling a little dangerous. Feeling a little dangerous. I don't know if it was the Destiny tweet I saw yesterday about how they're going pure powder blues.
Well, the powder blue is the only, like, if you, there's one thing that gives me any sort of confidence out there, it's the powder blues. That's it.
Yep. So powder blues is a big confidence builder. I have watched the Kevin Millar comments 16 times this morning already. Of just don't let the Phillies win game three. Don't let the Phillies win game three. You got Sanchi in game four, and who knows what happens in game five. By the way, Lizardo game five in 58 degree weather with Shohei on the mound. You think he's coming here in cold weather and beating this baseball team? I need this baseball team to just win a game tonight. Just win a game tonight. Win a game tonight, and anything can happen. You have a little bit of Uncle Mo back on your side. A little bit of Uncle Mo back on your side. And just extend this thing one game at a time. I'm ready for the comeback of the lives. I can see it.
You are. I can't believe you've gotten here. Is it? So you feel good about Aaron Nola leading that comeback?
So here's how I feel about Nola tonight. He either is going to go out and get shelled in the first inning, and it's going to be like 4-0.
I believe he has a 7.94 ERA in the first inning this season.
That feels a little bit off.
It's pretty high, dude. Rhea just mentioned it on the show. It was something like that. I'll look it up while you talk. It's shockingly high.
The Nola stat that I hate the most is his road numbers. Like, his road numbers this year have not been as good as... I feel like previously he's been all right on the road, but this year he's kind of been a disaster.
7.94.
7.94. There it is. In the first, I mean, just saying.
15 earned runs in 17 innings.
Not bad. It's all right. Hold on.
So Rhea was right. Don't doubt the Rhea stats.
I never saw his worst outing.
That makes you feel better.
Oh, good. Well, what's his worst?
The six.
The six? Good.
13 and a half. 15 earned runs in 10 innings.
It wasn't about doubting Rhea, but I did remember looking at like his first two times through the order not being as bad. So that's where I'm a little surprised that it's that high. But I mean, it does check out. He's had some absolute stinkers in the early games. Yeah. So all right. So first time through, opponents have a .381 slugging percentage with a .693 OPS. I guess that's even with the first innings.
Wow. So that's not bad.
Yeah. Second time through, it's .255 average with a .797 OPS.
So that's pretty bad.
Starting to tick up.
That might not sound bad when you're listening, but that's bad.
And then third time through, hitters are hitting .315.
Ooh.
with a 1,000 OPS.
Seems bad. Yeah.
Seems like that's the
so that's one the time point. Through the lineup, is that what we're shooting for?
We're shooting for two. So yeah. So
can I just real quick, let me ask you a question before we move on from this. Cause I think the vast majority of Phillies fans feel this way, in that I get it. If you're going to pitch Nola, you start him. I get that. You don't pull him out of the bullpen. He's never done it. Like, whatever. why pitch Aaron Nola? Why not just hand the ball, who it seems like he's, I get it. If Ranger's not healthy and he doesn't pitch him, then it was a lot of concentration for nothing. He couldn't pitch. But it certainly seems like we're going to see Ranger Suarez tonight for an extended period of time after Aaron Nola. Why not just give the ball to your best pitcher, get a lead, let Ranger go as long as you can and figure it out from there. And guess what? Sorry, Aaron Nola doesn't pitch in this series when he's got a 6 ERA on the season and has been one of the worst pitchers on the team. Like, how many guys have started a playoff game with a above 6 ERA? I'll bet you the list is real small, Jack. And I'll bet you of the ones on the list, the vast majority of them are like good pitchers who were hurt all year and had like one start or two starts and then get a playoff start. Like,
wow.
I'll bet you it's pretty rare, dude.
Well, Nola also has been hurt for majority of the year.
A fair amount of the season, you know, like enough. You're right. He was out for a fair amount, but I mean, Nola's pitched a couple months, you know, it's not like I was talking one start is what I'm saying. Like, it's like, oh, he had a bad start in his IRA.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's looked healthier recently. So I think the fastball's starting to tick up a little bit, I guess. All right. So let's try to look at it from their perspective. On one hand, Maybe it's not even the leg. Maybe it's the back acting up again. And they feel like he can't get through seven or can't get through six anyway. So if you could be looking at through there.
And that is possible.
Look through their lens. What is their best chance of getting six quality innings tonight or seven quality innings? Is it a Nola Ranger piggyback or just giving the ball to Ranger? And I think that their calculus here. I also don't think they thought they'd be down 2-0.
I agree.
I think that they thought this was going to be at least 1-1, so that stinks. So I guess from that perspective, that's what they're thinking, and maybe Ranger is more banged up than they thought. And again, it's not like Ranger's last two outings, I don't think, looked all that inspiring either. Now, no, but I know
last three outings weren't good.
I know he has a 1.43 ERA in the postseason.
1.43, Aaron Nola, 4.02.
Yeah, so I really think it comes down to, and again, the thing that they have to factor in, which makes it tougher, but it's not a part of the conversation, is you do also maybe have to have a game tomorrow. So it's not, I know you can't worry about tomorrow, you have to do whatever it takes to win the ball game today. But if these guys can go out there and give you seven, it leaves you in a much healthier position tomorrow if it can get to that game. But again, you have to get to that game. So It's a really, really, it's a tough situation. This is where you feel the loss of Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, that's exactly right. This is where you feel it, because you'd be one game back. You'd be up Lizardo pitching tonight. You know, I mean, it's a completely different thing. You probably win game one. No offense to Sanchi. I love him. He didn't get it done in that spot, and he wasn't horrible or anything, but you know, he didn't get through six. Like, I think Wheeler probably leaves the game seventh inning or after seven with a 3-0 or a 3-1 lead or something. Like, it's a different situation. So you definitely feel it. And look, I think you've made about, what's funny is what you're saying makes more sense than the way Rob Thompson explains it. You know, Rob Thompson has not been as eloquent as you in explaining why. He's like, well, I don't want him to come out of the bullpen and blah, blah. Oh, and by the way, I do trust him. Like, it's like, it seems like when the way he explains it, because he is not explaining it as logically as you are, it feels like that the things that we are worried are a factor, like the fact that Aaron Nola has a 5 years and $125 million left on his contract, the fact that they don't want to, you know, bury him and they don't want to not have him pitch in the playoffs. Like, I know, but that stuff filters in and it's a factor because we've seen dumb stuff like that before.
Yeah, and I think the way Thompson has talked, I think he's usually a very honest and good talker.
I agree.
And it's not obviously not the reason they're losing, but I think he's been a disaster at the podium.
I just been awful, 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 awful. I mean, saying you're playing for the tie, like so many things have just been really uncharacteristic of him at the podium. The moves is a different thing, but at the podium, it's crazy.
Well, to me, I feel like he's just lying. I think he lied about disguising the wheel play against Mookie.
You think it should have been off and Stott and Cassianos didn't, or Stott didn't recognize or something?
Maybe he's just covering up for Stott, you know, because
that's what I mean. Do you think he's covering for Stott?
Could be, but you can't say he disguised it well when they ran it when it was an 0-0 count and then showed
it. We saw it
in
the building. When we were in the building, you could see them running the wheel route. Like it was.
More impactful wheel route, the Jalen to Saquon wheel route?
Definitely the wheel play. It's not even close. I don't know. Have the Eagles ever had a wheel route as impactful? I mean, the Corey Clement catch in the Super Bowl wasn't really a wheel route. It was kind of started, but then he went over the middle. Like, yeah. I don't know the Eagles have ever had a more important wheel route than that wheel route the Dodgers pulled off.
And what's so funny, and Mookie said this, and he's dead right. He said, I don't know what the reaction is. Such a simple play. Like, I mean, the wheel route.
It's because what do they think? They're not going to cover third? That's what I don't understand. Where it's, we didn't know the wheel route was going to be on. It's like, so do you think they're just going to give you third base? Do you think that they are saying, all right, you executed a bunt in the field of play. Congratulations. We're just going to get that at first. Castellanos is given third base. Like, I don't understand what the alternative was. When they're saying we didn't know they were going to do wheel route, like, what did you think they were going to do? Not field the bunt? Give you third base? Like, I don't, Jack, like, what is the alternative there? I don't understand what they're talking about.
Well, the wheel route's a super aggressive play because, like, it's just a play where it's pretty much do or die. It's a do or die. Because
you have no one covering second. You need the first baseman or the third base. Whoever the ball doesn't go to has to sprint to second base. I get it. But yeah.
Especially with Castellanos at second base. Like, especially with Castellanos at second base.
Exactly. Your personnel.
So maybe if it's Trey or Stott or someone there, maybe it's different and they just concede it. But especially with that, you have the opportunity to go get a slow footed runner at third base. But, and then the other thing that annoyed me, and you mentioned it a little bit there, but like playing for the tie, but also the saying the bullpen was in a healthy spot.
Oh, what was that?
You already burned Duran, Strom, Banks, Kirkering. Yep. So unless you went Duran another inning and then Robertson, is that considered healthy? Or Ranger? Like that's what we're calling
it. Walker Buehler, Taiwan Walker? Is that what we're talking about for health in the extra innings? Is that what we're talking about?
By the way, we talk about just egregious roster decisions, and maybe they didn't have a choice, and we'll dissect this, I'm sure, as we a post-mortem, hopefully that doesn't happen, but keeping Taiwan on the roster.
Totally. So Ruben Amaro brought this up. He, of all the things that happened in the game, in game one, the thing that Ruben Amaro kept coming back to yesterday was, why do you have a 12th pitcher on the roster? Like, what are you thinking in a 5-game series and you have great starting pitching? Like, when is that guy ever going to pitch? What situation is Taiwan Walker going to go in? Like, maybe if they use Nolan Ranger tonight and it goes to extras and you have to pitch a 17 inning game, you get Taiwan in there. Like, then again, you still have Walker Buehler for that spot. Like, it's crazy to me. One of those two guys, instead of an extra bench player who could have made a difference. Like, it's a problem.
Well, you could have had almost anyone out there run the bases on Saturday.
Stubbs,
instead of Castellanos.
Stubbs. Garrett Stubbs is on the roster. I'm not kidding. Like, Garrett Stubbs on the roster, he's a better option there. Like, and you probably would have had someone better, but I'm going with, like, the lowest guy you could add on the roster who would still be a better option running that play than Nick Castellanos.
Well, and that's where you start having the concerns about, are they doing this because of contract status? And, like, that's the only reason frickin' Taiwan's. Like, there's no reason for – they essentially have four starters in the bullpen, and one's never pitched out of the bullpen, and Nola. And then Taiwan and you know, Buehler, I think they think could be more of a true traditional bullpen guy.
Like, totally.
There's just no point to having Taiwan on the roster, and it could have helped cost them a game on Monday. Yeah. Simple as that. I mean, no simple doubt. As that. And Rojas getting hurt did hurt that.
It did. I think that it could have been different if he were available. I agree.
But there, you're telling me there's not someone at Lehigh Valley fast, if not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Justin Crawford had a concussion, but he's pretty fast. Aiden Miller's pretty fast. Like, all these guys are fast. Like, what are we doing? Aiden Miller had almost 60 steals. Like, what are we talking about?
Could you imagine Aiden coming
in to pinch run? Let's go.
Come on, man. 60 bags. I think he's hurt right now, which stinks. But
yeah,
I don't know if anyone.
But again, the point is, it doesn't matter. It's anyone but Nick Castellanos is the point. Like, it doesn't matter who it is.
I don't want to jump too far ahead be the more bearer of bad news, but they did take Aiden Miller off the Arizona Fall League roster due to injury.
I saw it. Or I wasn't even going to go there. I know.
I just want to make sure we're focused on the important things as we head into,
which, you know, starting tomorrow, it might be that type of conversation that we're having on this podcast.
Doesn't that sound disappointing? Tomorrow, it could be all over.
Dude, it sounds ridiculous. Honestly, it sounds ridiculous. And I know the Dodgers are good and all that, but, like, if the season's over after three playoff games, like, that's a disaster. And let's get to this, because let's say they lose tonight.
Uh-huh.
You know, obviously we'll deal with other stuff as it goes on, but if they lose tonight.
They're not losing tonight. I want that to be clear. Right. They're not losing.
A hypothetical
tonight.
That won't happen. Do you think Rob Thompson gets fired?
So I almost need to see Rob Thompson get fired before I predict Rob Thompson gets fired, but I think it has to be on the table. You know, I said the same thing on the air yesterday.
Yeah, you're the first person I heard saying in Bruce Bochy. We were hearing all day on Monday. You were putting it out there on Tuesday. I mean,
dude, I got so I have so many manager ideas. I'm already, you have no idea how many I've just been cooking up
idea.
In this brain.
I think I have an idea. Yeah.
So again, I don't want to do this yet. I'm just laying the groundwork for if they do it. So one is Bochy, by the way, and two is Tony Vitello, the Tennessee Vols head coach who Bryce Harper
is. Of course it is. There we go.
Who Bryce Harper is very, very close with, and I think is starting to generate some major league interest. And I'm obsessed with like the Pat Murphy type Brewers, who I think the game is actually trending towards being played like college baseball in a way. I know there's been some big home run hitters, and it was a great home run year, but I think for the majority, like, I think you're seeing better defense. I think the market inefficiency now is better defense playing baseball.
You're seeing the Brewers and the Blue Jays are examples of that.
And Blue Jays last night. Well, it's also nice watching Vladdy. Watching Vladdy step up and Judge.
Oh, how much fun is that? I know. He's seeing great players get a shot in the playoffs and then grab it is super cool.
Yeah,
but I mean, they play great defense. Jealous. You know, they it's the same idea. Like Vladdy hits home runs, but they're not a home run driven team. Like they slap the ball around. You know. Yeah.
So I just think with Thompson, my thing with him is that. Regular season and managing 162, very, very good at it. I think he keeps an even keel, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, but you're seeing these mistakes keep piling up. And I think the thing that really irked me or has irked me so far this series is just watching a team that also has stars on it. Like they have stars on that side, but they just play a more fundamental brand of baseball. Like they do winning things. And it's almost like I watch this team and they're like, I don't need to do that dumb stuff.
Yeah, totally. You're right though. And honestly though, like let's go back 1 year, right? Let's go back to the comments. And I know they tried at the beginning of the year and they did some stuff with being better with plate discipline and Trey, you know, this year. But like, let's go back to what these same guys said after last year. Oh, you know, well, when you're up, and Boehm just said it, by the way, again, Alec Boehm after game two literally said the words, I don't remember why I swung in situations. Like, he said that. Those are words that came out of his mouth. Like, Alec Boehm told us the moment is too big for me. Like, flat out said it to us, which is crazy. But if you think about these guys, the comments, whether it was Castellanos' comments, Boehm's comments, Turner's comments last year, all this stuff about, hey, like, when I get up there, I'm going to hit, man. When I get up there, you know, it's hard for me to control not swinging and stuff like that. Like, what? Like, they told us who they were last year. And it seems like that's the way they go about their business with, like, and look, who you sent that video was a Kevin Pillar where he was talking about, he's right, where it talks about, like, these guys don't feel like they have to go up and have an approach and have an offensive philosophy and take pitches and work counts and do these things. They go up and they're like, I'm Bryce Harper. I'm going to smoke it. I'm Kyle Schwarber. I'm going to smoke it. Like, and that seemed like that bears out with the eye test. What he's saying bears out with the eye test.
Well, and, you know, I think Boa said it today with Clark, but these guys, like, especially Schwarber and Harper, like, they always look like they're trying to hit the home run. Like, they 100%. Always look like they're trying to just, it's my moment. I'm gonna own the moment. And that's what we saw, like, a lot of 23, like, beginning of the year, where they were doing dumb things in the base pass. Because there's, I don't know if you're aware of this term, but it's one that the younger folk like to say. But the Phillies' offensive approach is just aura farming. Yeah.
I'm aware of the term, sadly.
They're just looking for the moment all the time. And that's my hope in going out to LA. There's a couple things I feel hopeful with in going out there. One, I do think getting away from CPP and almost playing hopefully carefree will help this team. And I also hope that there was a time it was like early August. It was right before the Wheeler injury and right before Duran got hit in the foot, where they're playing bad baseball again. And they're doing the stuff that we hated. They were chasing. They were back to like being one of the biggest chase teams in baseball. They weren't walking. They were striking out all the time. And then Rob Thompson had a meeting before the series down in Washington, and they recommitted to passing the baton. And I think that that's what the rest of the series could be is, okay, well, we tried to do it that way and it didn't work. Let's get back to what has really helped us play good baseball for majority of the season is the pass the baton, trust your guys around you. I think I think Harper has a huge issue with that because, once again, I don't believe he trusts the guy hitting behind him. Don't blame him. But, like, I think that that is one of the things that is hurting this team is they have gotten away from what they have done for a large portion of the season that has had them playing the kind of baseball that had this city believing again. Also huge if they can get Bader out there. You know,
Not confident.
I'm not super confident either. I love that dude, man. I mean, he's off.
What a stud, man. Comes to come off the in bench. And just rip that single. And
you just knew he was, man.
Yeah,
I had all the faith
in the world. And he's like one of the few guys. I had all the faith. And it's a shame because you talk about the guy hitting behind. Like, I actually would advocate for him to clean up if he were healthy and ready to play, you know, just because you trust him more. I would move JT up there tonight. I mean, JT has been, other than Kepler, probably their best hitter in this series, right? I know.
Big game Kep, buddy.
But I mean, I would, wouldn't you? I mean, are you going to roll Bohm out there again?
I mean, look, we're not talking about elite options here.
I get it. But like JT hit there the majority of the season. He probably hit fourth more than anyone else. And he's been good. Like he's been good. JT in the ninth in that spot. It was like, come up, boom, rip a double down the line. Like had the triple in the first game that got them run. Like
I know
JT has not looked like the moment is too big for him when Alec Bohm freaking told us the moment's too big for him.
Yeah. The one thing I'm thinking about, it kind of depends on Bader's health, but would you DH him and put Schwarber in left?
So I get it. I don't think he catted that outfield, right? Like it's such a big outfield, and
I just want Bader's bat in there. I want Bader's bat in there.
Yeah, I know, but especially, oh man,
and Marsh in center, especially because
you're not going against. I get it, but like you're going against, like if you're going Aaron Nola and Ranger, I mean that's a lot of pull balls by right-handed hitters to left. That's what I'm saying. Like they can turn on those. Like it just feels like and I think that would be their plan, right? Like if Schwarber's in left, they're going to try and hit the ball left field as much as they possibly can. Like I get it. And I would like, it's worth thinking about. I don't know that I could get there.
What if Bader's like 90%, but he can't play center field because you don't want to hurt the groin. Just
would have been left. Play.
Maybe right? Left's an option. Bader,
if he's enough to run the bases, can he play left field, put Marsh in center, and just hope for the best?
Yeah, that could be a plan. But I would strongly consider Schwarber in left. If you feel comfortable with the ability of Bader to at least run the base, I need Bader's bat in the lineup. I need Bader's bat in the lineup. They got to find a way to do it. So we'll see.
The question is, can he run the bases too? Because obviously he couldn't do that in the ninth either. So I'd use two players for one spot.
And again, it was a minor decision and
it didn't matter. But you have to use two players for one spot.
No, but what I meant was, what I was going to say was that it's a minor decision and it's very, very hindsight being 2020, but he pulled Sosa with two outs in the seventh with Nolan on first thought. If you know that Bader's on one leg and you know you don't have like all these options to pinch run, once again, you have the Taiwan Walker on the roster thing, that could have, you didn't have to pinch hit.
I actually heard an argument, a good argument too, though, the flip way, and I agree with you. I wouldn't have. I think I would have thought Ed. But another good point made to me, if you know you're going to pinch hit Stott, because they had, was it Sheehan warming up? If you know you're going to pinch hit Stott for Sosa, why not put him in the field? Stott might have gotten that ball up the middle that Sosa couldn't do. I'm not saying he would have, but he might have. Stott's great at going to that side up the middle. It was the scoring hit up the middle, the two-run hit or whatever it was.
Oh, I was definitely walking around at that point.
Yeah. I think there's a chance that Stott could have gotten to that ball in the middle. Like, that was a point a buddy made to me. And it feels like when Topper is making these decisions – in the moment, whether it's because it's the moment too big for him or whatever it is, he's not thinking about all the potential outcomes and all the players and all the things. It's just like a momentary choice with that specific decision, and it's coming back to bite him, you know?
Yeah, and the thing that has annoyed me is I've seen a lot of his team's heartless, gutless.
Yeah, like, that's not it.
I don't feel that way at all. I think they've shown decent fight.
They were down 4-0. They fought back yesterday. Like they made it a game. Like it sucked the way they lost, but they fought. Like I don't think that's it at all.
It's just the little things that are coming back to bite them. It's the little things. It's managerial decisions. It's obviously Schwarber and Harper. You need them to be better. Like that's
flat out.
That's obvious. But it's the But sometimes you're not going to have your stars go 3 for 4. Like, I just, you well, have
the Dodgers
to find,
haven't.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. And I
no, they have gonna, a deeper lineup and stuff. I'm just saying, like, the Dodgers are winning without their big guys kicking ass.
It's the biggest thing from going, like, bone to T Oscar. Like, if you just went to the big four, then it's totally different. Like, that's the thing that's. That's where it kills you, is that they have that one extra real dude, and the Phillies have three dudes, and then they have a bunch of pretty good players. And like, that's one of the things that is imperative, is finding another true dude, like just another true dude to add to the middle of that line.
Yeah, but you also need your dudes to be dudes. Like, that is not, it's not wrong to say that, you know?
It's not. It's just, you have to, like, when you're playing a team as good as the Dodgers, you just got to be up on everything, and they haven't been up on everything. And that's where I put it back on the manager, with like little things slipping through the cracks and costing you simple baseball games. Not seeing the wheel play on, not understanding the situation, Castellanos understanding how slow he is, and that he can just go back to the bag if he wants. And it's a total, it's could be a totally different situation. Stott, who is a really, I think he's a really smart player. Stott not realizing, like, you can pull it back if you see it happening and slug bunt, or just take another pitch.
It was like, a 1-0 count. It wasn't an 0-1 count.
Letting the moment get too big for him. And the Pilar comments are great. And it really, the Kevin Long drives me nuts.
We've never been huge fans. Yeah, we've always kind of.
So, and it, you see these other teams, and it looks like they come in with a team-wide approach, and then you see the Phillies, and it's just vibes. It's just constant aura farming.
All right. I'm going to bed soon, because you can hear us late night tonight. Check us out on WIP. Fritz and I and Tucker will be awake with us hanging. We will be on YouTube as well, live. Check it out. YouTube, WIP, YouTube. You can see our beautiful faces. So do that. If you're doing one of the two, we will be on about, 30, 40 minutes after the game ends. Greg Murphy will do his thing. Then we will be on. Tune in, check it out. So before we get out of here, let's get to it. For those who missed it, I'm sure most have seen it, but here were Nick Castellanos' comments after the game, talking about CBP. He said, when everything's going good and you're rolling, it's a pain to play here when you're an opposing team, because the environment is amazing. But if we run into adversity and the tide shifts and now we're playing more tight because we don't want to be reprimanded for something bad, like, get this loser off my team, dude. Honestly, like, I know we've done the get this guy off my team bit before. I have maybe never wanted a player off my team more than this freaking loser, man. After all we've been through with this guy, after the amount of times that this guy has said dumb things, caused problems, the whole Rob Thompson pulling him and him being a freaking baby about it, the amount of things that this guy's done after being statistically one of the worst players in the sport this year, Jack, the sport. This guy has the gall to come to us, fans who spend our money to support this team, who buy merchandise, who give our time. We talk about all the time, the amount of time that you put into a baseball team for a season. Honestly, I can't wait. I can't wait for Nick Castellanos to be gone. I can't wait. Go to Miami, go to whatever, some crappy team, finish out your career, because you're a freaking loser, a loser.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'm so offended that he would have the, and I don't like, look, maybe players feel tight, whatever. I get that. That's like, you don't come out and take shots at us, reprimanding you for doing something bad. All right. That's what I got.
So off of that, when they win tonight,
he's going to be starting tonight, by the way. Yeah.
We'll see. I need Stubbsy to gather the boys, and then I've had this vision, tweeted out part of the vision yesterday, but I need one of the beat reporters after the game to be like, Alive by Pearl Jam is blaring out of this locker room.
This is all we need. Yes,
I'm telling you, I'm begging you, I promise it can work. Those guys all singing Alive by Pearl Jam after a win tonight in the Powder Blues will save the season. It will 100% save the season if they can pull that off. Stubbsy, I'm begging you. I need one of the beat reporters to tweet out Alive by Pearl Jam is currently blaring out of the Phillies locker room. And then there's no shots. They lose game four. And we'll see everyone back here on Saturday. We'll see everyone back here for game five on Saturday. I promise. It's the thing I've never, I don't think I've ever believed in something more than if they win tonight, they play Alive, that we're getting to a game five and we're winning the series. I've never believed in something more.
I like this. This is good. I'm with you. You know what? May as well throw myself behind it because it's probably not going to happen. And thus there's going to be no way to prove it, but whatever not happen. So, you know, it's pretty good.
But what if it does? But what if it does?
But what if it does? I love that. All right. Play Alive. We're still alive. Okay.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
I'm still alive. All right. You got anything else, Fritzy?
I don't. But okay. Knowles is going to show up tonight. That's my official prediction.
My official prediction is I hope so, man. I hope so. Look, they absolutely can win these two games out here. They can. If they win tonight, they got Sanchi on the hill. It's freaking baseball. We know how baseball works. Like, they absolutely could win tonight. I just need to see them do it to believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Good.
I understand. And I've completely convinced myself. So I'm sorry to everyone who just wants the Phillies to lose and get it over with. Not happening.
Well, I couldn't believe it. You guys had a poll where, honestly, I said to you, it should be 100-0. You guys had a poll. Would you rather see the Phillies lose tonight
or tomorrow?
Lose in LA or win both, but lose at home for game five? And it was like 70-30 or something. It should be 100% of people who wants them to come back here and lose. Like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I don't want to go down there and watch them lose. Like, I want them to fight and all that, but like, no, that's crazy. So don't do that, guys. Fight back, win, and then win here, and let's freaking go on a run. How about
that? Yeah. All started by Alive by Pearl Jam.
You're damn right. All right. We'll talk to you guys tonight, pregame and post. Until then, he's Fritz and Seltzer.